Hello and welcome to the Linkcast. This is the Jabom Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast for the week of December 15th. I'm your host, Sockfest Cynic, and joining me today is Nubarama.
Hi.
Fuck you. Durin.
What?
Happy holidays.
That, right, damn it. Oh my god. I hate you, so much.
Merry
I hate
Christmas
you so
is politically incorrect. You need
much.
To be more inclusive of other holidays.
And the listeners will find out why I hate him next week. Thurbleton is also joining us today.
I have a new microphone.
Yeah,
that actually
sounds, fancy.
Sounds good.
Sounds fancy. Which microphone did you buy?
I bought a Yeti.
Blue microphones Yeti. Like for me, Durin, Shinboy, and
for
now
your
Thurbleton.
Suggestion.
Yeah, we all have the same microphone now. It's fancy.
Yeah, like pretty much
and
the
me.
Only microphone.
Don't forget Nubarama.
You do not have a Blue Yeti.
I want a Blue Yeti.
So, you're not part of the club.
Shit.
Maybe you can get one for your religious holiday of genericness.
Kwanzaa?
Yeah, sure. That one.
They celebrate that in North Korea, right?
Yeah. Kwanzaa, it's unofficial, and I guess I shouldn't be talking about it.
So I guess the whole holiday season has started, so for many, at least I've eaten that thing.
Ho, Merry Christmas.
As the resident retail employee,
Christmas tree.
I can tell you that started back in Halloween, because I set that up. Against my will.
How has the retail space been, Thurbs?
it's peak week, so luckily after this we just get the crazy people who, you know, procrastinate to the last minute.
I'm one of those people. I still haven't bought my
AKA
business.
Americans.
Right.
But yeah,
I procrastinate, but I also just buy everything through Amazon, so
yeah. But
just walking into Walmart the week of.
I don't even go to Walmart unless I have to at gunpoint. I hate Walmart.
On a normal day.
Yeah. Anyway, System Ableye says, it's starting to die down. I can actually start playing games again and have fun, but it's been just a crazy past few weeks.
Okay, has there been a nightmare story?
The only nightmare story was just like, again, back in Halloween, when we were setting everything up for the first time. After that, I just did my best to not work during the daytime.
Right.
Granted, I still worked like 6 to 7 days a week unloading trucks. But right, like the day we set everything up, some old geezer comes up to us and just says, like, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
What?
For setting up Christmas that early.
What?
See, and I heard about that on the
show.
My boss had the best response. It's, sir, we're only setting this up because you guys are buying it this early.
Oh.
Wait, is this like a thing? Like, what's wrong with setting up Christmas early? I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's more so like especially when you're talking about setting up Christmas. Like,
we're setting up before holidays, before the holiday in question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, granted, there aren't a lot of Thanksgiving decorations, but still, it's that idea that you're already throwing Christmas in people's faces before Thanksgiving has ever even happened. In fact, 3 weeks before Thanksgiving.
I think this was actually on the news because it's so frivolous. Like, people are like, okay, it's too soon to put up Christmas songs on the radio. And there was like this huge survey about it, and then it was so fucking stupid.
Which
so
is hilarious stupid. Because the week after Thanksgiving, I decided to go looking for Christmas music because that's my cutoff. Like, I don't like listening to it before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But after Thanksgiving, like, I'm totally okay with it. Went to go look for it. I literally could not find a local station that had Christmas music. It turns out the country station is the only one playing Christmas music in my city up till Christmas. Mm. Nobody else.
Nobody else, really?
I had the weirdest thing happen.
That's it. Your Thanksgiving's like not even – it's in November. It's not too far from Christmas. It's like
a month. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not too far. I don't understand the point.
Like, one radio
if it was in October or something like that, maybe then. But no, it's in November.
I have a nice little story that any video game enthusiasts that listen to the podcast might enjoy is, at nighttime, we just, you know, make use of the Wi-Fi at work, and I listen to Rainwave, which, if anybody doesn't know, it's just they stream without commercial or anything video game music, and you can listen to just straight, like, games, OC remixes, or chiptunes, which is 8-bit versions of, like, the old Nintendo classic songs.
Right.
Every now and then, I was surprised to find out they would throw in a Christmas song done in 8-bit.
Oh. That's pleasant.
You told me about this, and I was like, that is the coolest thing. I need to find all of that music. All of it. I just need it in me. I don't know.
The one annoying thing is the method I have for listening to it, I can't figure out what, like, who's singing or what. I can listen to the music. It's through my iPod.
No, as in singing with 8-bit?
Singing?
Well, no, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, playing. There's no singing.
Okay, good, cool. Okay. All right. That's fine then. But I was going to say.
The performer or composer would be the word I should have chosen.
Sure. But don't you guys have a thing for Christmas music? I love Christmas music. Yeah.
I love the song Chipmunks Roasting on an Open Fire.
I put a bunch of songs onto my phone that were Christmas related, and they're going to go out like at the end of the holidays, but I'm just keeping them on, listening to them like every once in a while.
I've been listening to it pretty much every day since the day after Thanksgiving.
But I think it kind of ruins the atmosphere because there's no snow on the ground. That's just really depressing.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
My windows are open. My windows were open in my living room because it was too hot in here.
Like, what kind of shallow, non-real Christmas is celebrated without snow?
Fuck you guys.
it doesn't deserve to be called Christmas if there's no snow on the ground and it's cold outside.
Yeah, just curious, what's the temperature right now for you, Cynic?
Oh, Jesus. Let me just 33 degrees Celsius currently, which would be
33 degrees,
which would be about 90 degrees Fahrenheit or so, something like that.
Good Lord.
Is that, like, how humid is it?
It's very humid. I am a pool of water at the moment. I'm just like,
Cynic, if it makes you feel any better at all, right now it is about, what, about 8:30 or so my time? 9 o'clock? Right. 9 o'clock my time. It is 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
That is 10 Celsius.
Oh, I would love that.
We're talking December.
I would love it so much.
This has been a pretty warm December.
It's winter time, and it is 50 degrees here.
In before I moved, where I used to live in Indiana, it got like up to what was it? My conversion rate is derping it. Yeah, it got up to like 33 Celsius, nice. And it was really humid.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Summer, right? Not in the winter.
Yeah, in the summertime.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Indiana hovering around 3 Celsius here.
It's no. I think the worst place on Earth has to be like the South in the summertime, just because it's got the most amount of humidity.
Yeah. See, but in out west, like in the prairies in Canada, it's generally like 40 degrees Celsius in the summer and negative 40 in the winter.
I'll let you know where it's really cold though.
Mm-hmm.
In Lion's Arch.
Too early. So
too fucking soon.
I was gonna ask, what are you guys doing for Christmas? How are you? Is anything special?
There's a funny story because today my friend invited me to like a Christmas party, and I'm like, but that's on a day where I'm recording the Lincoln Cast, so I don't think I can come. But then I came to the realization.
First realization
that we're not doing the Lincoln Cast next month or next week, and the second realization is how sad that is. Like, I have to record an internet podcast, so I'm going to have to skip out on hanging out with people. Sorry. And then,
So you're going to a Christmas party is the moral of that story.
Quote, unquote, Christmas party. I don't know how Christmas it is because there are a lot of Jewish people there. Not that I don't like Jewish people. I'm just saying.
I was going to say.
You can't celebrate Christmas without the Christmas tree. And if it's at a house of a Jewish person, where's the Christmas tree?
Just bring a dreidel with the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Wait. So, but what? You're like 12 years old. What do you do in a Christmas party? I'm 12 years old.
Well, it's like a birthday party. We play Christmas games. Like, one second.
You got nothing, dude.
Pin the tail on the reindeer.
Pin the tail on the reindeer. Reindeer pinatas.
I think the last quote unquote Christmas party that I went to back in high school. Me and a couple other guys just ditched out and went to an abandoned asylum and tried to break into it. Turned out there was a dude that lived there and he had a billy club and
Weird.
I like your Christmas parties.
Yeah. So yeah,
do
I don't know.
Do you plan to kiss a lady? Do you have a lady you
Oh yeah. my friend told me there were going to be real live ladies there. And I'm like, yeah.
I'm so really sad for you.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm bringing my inflatable doll. Except it's a different one. So
well, you're going to leave her at home so that, like, you know, when nothing happens that night, she'll be there waiting for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like coming home to
ready
my lady.
Ready to be unwrapped.
My inflatable lady. This is really sad, guys.
God damn it.
I'm hurt.
All right, I'm depressed now. I'm so depressed.
But yeah, what else? Oh, no Christmas tree at my house, despite the fact that I'm not Jewish and I used to have a Christmas tree, but just like...
Yeah, you lied.
Just fell out of use, almost. Like, you get the Christmas gifts, you go to Sunday Mass, whatever, but no tree. No tree.
There's no tree at my house this year, either.
Well, okay, how does something that really actually has no...
It has no meaning outside of, like, because I live with my dad, and that's, like, two people, and there's no point in getting...
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing that happened to me. So my mom...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, my mom and sister are going to India for Christmas, so there's just me and my dad, and there will be no tree. I don't think I'll be home.
Oh, your dad should come over to Canada and hang out with me and my dad.
That'll be fun. But yeah, I guess we didn't have a Christmas tree until we had our son, so I could see that, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like bringing it down to the basement. The thing is, I'm pretty sure we still have a Christmas tree in the basement. It just...
Yeah, we have one in our garage, so...
I don't really want to go into...
Oh yeah, we're living in the world of plastic Christmas trees, just to be clear.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck by a Christmas tree.
Can Christmas trees grow in Australia? Like, do they have Christmas tree farms?
I bet they could if we tried. Because we do have cold areas, but I just don't think anyone gives a shit, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, hearing all about those holiday traditions, like, a long time ago in Australia, it kind of made me think about how, like, depressing of a place Christmas must be.
Dude.
Living in a place like Australia.
So I'm not going to do much for Christmas, but the day after Christmas is when The Hobbit comes out here. So we're going to watch that.
Oh, really? Yeah. It took that long?
Yeah.
Despite living, like, next to New Zealand?
It's one of those.
Is it just because New Zealand doesn't like Australia or something like that?
Maybe.
Isn't it usually the other way around? Like, don't you usually get the stuff before we do?
I actually assume something that was made in New Zealand would come out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We usually do get stuff before you guys, but in this case it works out because we're essentially attending... The equivalent to not a premiere, but it would be fancy. Like the cinema dresses itself.
Yeah,
well, it works out except for the fact that I'm just going to ruin it for you.
No, it's The Hobbit. It's been out for like a billion years. Yeah. It's like what?
But The Hobbit, like
Smaug's not in it. Surprise! Who's not sure? Smaug is not in this movie. I don't think. Well, it shouldn't be. Anyway, that'd be stupid if he was.
They packed all of the entire book into the book.
For New Year's, which is just after that, me and my friends have booked a like a three-story house in between three beaches in the middle of nowhere. It's gonna be awesome.
Wow. You guys gonna have a you know what? Never mind. Sorry.
What are you gonna
say? Something really inappropriate.
No, go ahead.
I'm just gonna say,
this is the week, guys.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
There will be women there, but none that they're taken, and I'm not interested in them either. So
interested in women, okay?
You'll be sad for me and like two of my friends. The other two will at least be bringing their significant others along. So it'll be fun. Tarkin, it will be going. We are going to try to get that man laid.
The significant other people.
Let's not talk about Tarkin's love life.
Okay, sorry.
So yeah, beaches in Australia is how I'm doing New Year's, which I guess is pretty cool.
That's really cool. Beaches and Christmas or New Year's.
Yeah, it's
like a
different.
Beach house is okay, but going outside and that's fucked up.
It's gonna be like I'm not sure if it's. I think it's on the waterfront. I'm pretty sure it's on the waterfront.
Oh,
if
that's
not,
nice.
It's a maximum of 50 meters away from the water. It's gonna be good.
Meters away. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's really good.
Anyway, Thermal Thing, what are you doing for Christmas?
I will be probably doing a Skype call with the folks back home, making sure they got gifts I'll be sending them this week.
Oh, fuck gifts.
Yeah, it's crunch time for me. I'm the one who's procrastinating to the last minute because I got to get this stuff mailed right away.
Jeez.
To be fair. Okay, let's discuss what gifts we're giving to other people.
Well, it's people who are like, oh, why isn't he visiting his family? I had like I told him, it's like, well, I can either visit you guys now or in spring, because if I put it off, that means I can pay for college this year. And they're like, that's a good reason to wait. We'll see you then when there's no work anyway.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But yeah, for Christmas, I'll talk to them, probably eat some, like, make some fancy meal.
Right.
Because we'd always do that. We'd have some, like, fancy meal on, not fancy as much as just crap ton of stuff that'll kill you. That's delicious.
Yeah, that's delicious.
Not so much fancy, just like not out of a box.
Yeah. Okay. I will have.
Those are synonymous. Stuff that kills you. And
I'll make a crap ton of bacon, cook some sausages.
Oh, bacon.
You probably just go all out and make, like, you know, French toast, just use Texas toast.
What's Texas toast?
Yeah. Really, like, thick.
Thick bread.
Yeah, really thick bread that's like soaked in butter.
Oh.
And you stick it in the, like, you cook it till it's crisp. And
oh, man.
It's greasy as hell. It's delicious.
And bacon and oh, that's
and then I'll probably go out, drag some friends out, and go see Django Unchained.
Dude, that movie's gonna be awesome. Awesome.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Is it directed by Quentin Tarantino? Or is it just produced by him?
I don't know. I think it's directed.
Basically, here's the layout. It's got Christopher Waltz, who was the bad guy from Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
He's playing a German bounty hunter. Wait for it. Who breaks out Jamie Foxx, who is a slave in Civil War times.
Yep.
And they have to kill Leonardo. I'm assuming they have to kill Leonardo DiCaprio, who is a Southern slave owner. And it's Quentin Tarantino all over.
Yeah, okay, I need to see this then.
Well, it's gotten like 9s and 10s from
everybody. I have a mental image right now.
And when I saw the trailer, I didn't realize this until at the end when they said, like, this is who's appearing. Samuel L. Jackson is playing some, like, old black dude.
Of course he is.
I don't even recognize him.
Nice.
Of course he is. I mean, it's a fucking batshit crazy movie. Of course Samuel L. Jackson is going to be there.
I just watched...
I think there's something in his contract for that.
Yeah.
Man with the Iron Fists, like, 2 days ago. That was hilariously bad. Hilariously bad. It's got the RZA. The guy from the Wu-Tang Clan. And he plays a blacksmith, get it? And in China. No, is it China or Japan? Can't remember. But yeah, essentially it's like a faux kung fu movie with people beating the shit out of each other in the most ridiculous ways possible. Like, there's a guy who turns into essentially the equivalent of the Colossus from X-Men. It makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever, but it was pretty bad good. Like, one of those bad good movies that I tend to love.
I'm excited. I'm watching it this week. Hopefully it's not a letdown like
you
some
hate
people
it.
Have said.
Like, did you like...
I'll hate it? Really?
Did you like...
I love Lord of the Rings.
What?
Wait, what?
I'm talking about...
You said to see The Hobbit this
week. The Hobbit. I missed that. All right. I was like, you want to watch Man of the Iron Fist? It's crazy. No, yeah. yeah, The Hobbit.
No, I hate kung fu movies. Unless they're, like, super realistic.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I just want to know...
The suspension of disbelief might be too high for those.
What's the guy from Gladiator? I can't believe I've forgotten his name.
Russell Crowe?
Yeah. Does he, like, know that the movie is a piece of crap and then just goes with it?
For Man with the Iron Fist, yeah, he just goes with it. His character makes no sense. It's great. It's great. Now, if you like bad movies, or if you can enjoy bad movies and, like, revel in their terribleness, it's fantastic. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, so that's the difference. Like, if it's a like bad movie that knows it's a bad movie,
yeah,
like, that's if it knows it's that batshit crazy and dumb, like, I'm okay with watching it. It's like the kung fu movies that are just. Like, basically everything Jet Li has done, those are the kind of kung fu movies I don't watch.
Indeed. Yeah. Oh, I like them.
Like, flying
I like 50
him. Feet through the air to do a jump kick.
I love it. Love it.
Like, no, sorry.
Just, yep, I'm totally on board. I love that shit. Anyway, Durin, you're lucky to ask. What are you doing for the holidays this year?
I am going to the in-laws on the Sunday before, and then going to my parents on Christmas Eve. And then we're actually just going to spend Christmas at home.
With, nice. With the kid and the wife. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, are you the kind of dad that's like, you guys can open it at, like, midnight before you go to bed on Christmas, or
like, probably not really, because since we're going to my parents on Christmas Eve, he'll be getting stuff from them, so he'll get his opening stuff out of his system there. Growing up, we never did that. We always had to wait until Christmas Day. But as we've gotten older and you know, started having kids of ours, our own, and started doing the Christmas Eve, the whole family gets together and everybody has their own Christmas on Christmas Day. We've kind of adopted that for all the grandkids so that they can, you know, open those things there.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're saying you will let him open the night before?
Well, he'll get to open the ones that he's getting from the extended family.
But
yeah.
But yours, no.
Yeah,
he's gonna be at home.
He won't get. Well, do they still believe in Santa? Or
he's 2 years old.
Okay.
Does he have, so he has an idea.
I don't think Santa exists yet.
Yeah.
Well, he'll get the presents in the morning, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think it builds character, or ability to Santa lie.
Until I was in fourth grade.
Because one of my most successful lies was through Christmas. I opened it multiple days early. And played with the toy, then resealed the box and put it under the Christmas tree, and then pretended to be surprised.
I never went that far, but I did the year that my parents got me a Nintendo 64. I was so certain that's what it was, but I wasn't. That wasn't enough. So I actually took the box out from under the tree while they were at work and steamed the tape off of it.
Nice. Wow.
Open it. And make sure that's what it was, and then reseal it without them knowing.
That's amazing.
Well done. Exactly. So the tension of Christmas is character building. It either makes you learn to live with waiting, or learn to be
or find a way to cheat.
Yeah, so good, so good. It's good for you.
I will say on the subject of Christmas, I did want to share one thing that my parents did for us 1 year. That I hope to do for my son later on when he's older and can actually appreciate it. And that was one of our gifts, was kind of a joint gift. I have three brothers, and we're all pretty close in age, about 6 year difference between the youngest and oldest. Right. And they'd gotten us the Ninja Turtle sewer playset.
Awesome.
It was like the fucking best thing
awesome.
Ever.
Awesome.
But instead of just getting it for us and just putting it under the tree, the present that we opened under the tree began a scavenger hunt around the house.
Oh, wow. See, I've heard of this. Some parents do this.
Sewer.
So good. So smart. But sounds like so much effort. That's crazy.
So your parents actually left the gifts until Christmas under the tree?
No. Yeah. They put fake... They put like hint gifts on the tree.
Well, no. They, like, the one that was under the tree for that was actually just a hint thing that led us to something else in the house that had another hint on it that led us to something else.
But the thing is, like, in my family, it was just the tree was empty and then the gift would magically appear on the 25th.
Well, what my parents did is we would have a few things under the tree that was from them.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And then Christmas Day, you'd wake up and then all Santa stuff would
be like a huge box there. I was like, whoa, that was there the day before. Oh my God. And then you're like, yeah.
That was flip great. Because it's like your parents would have to give you gifts because it's Christmas, and then they'd have to give you gifts because Santa Claus came to town.
Yeah.
And that'd just be two presents. That'd be great. Right.
It is great.
But except I'd always have to start searching for my gifts about 5 days before Christmas to know that they exist, to confirm their existence. I would never actually open it.
So what you're saying is you didn't trust your parents to give you Christmas gifts?
No, they hadn't failed me once, but that wasn't enough. Trusting people, that is bad.
Tells you the kind of man Nubarama is. Something else we'll be doing on Christmas... And I was expecting to do it. Durin was not. Is the Giant Bomb Game of the Year stuff that's coming up?
I thought that was next week. I guess this week when people are listening.
They recorded this week, and I want it so bad. I want so bad. But now it's on the website.
Okay, so we started talking about this before the recording, and you stopped me and wanted to save it for the podcast, mm-hmm. but like. My feelings are kind of torn. I'm not sure how to feel about it because I want those so bad. Like, I love listening to those mm-hmm. and hearing them go through the process.
But you don't want to hear what wins?
Well, no, but there are at least three games or so that I have not completed yet that I know they're going to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
The Walking Dead being one of them.
Yeah.
And I need to complete that game before they start spoiling it on there because I want
don't
to listen
they,
to it.
But I don't put timestamps on like when they or do they?
No. They'll like warn that they're going to start talking about it. But
should put timestamps on that. It'd be nice.
Here, I'll spoil it. They don't stop the zombie apocalypse.
I was going to say, like, we're talking about Brian Davis here. He ain't going to put some fucking timestamps on his podcast. No, for me, my main thing with the Game of the Year stuff is I love it because it's essentially a free 15 hours of podcasts, which I love the Giant Bomb guys, so it's going to be awesome. But this year, my list is like 3 entries long, and one of those entries I don't even want to be
Persona
there.
Guild Wars.
Yeah, Persona 4 Golden, number one, with a bullet point. Guild Wars 2, and then a long space, then Mass Effect 3. I have like nothing I want to put in that list, because I haven't played Walking Dead yet. But nothing else this year has been particularly exciting to me at all. I'm actually really surprised.
I think mine's the Hearts of Iron 3 United States Sprite Pack.
Right.
Victoria 2, House Divided, and Wars 2. Sprite Pack as in those, you know, like Monopoly pieces that represent, and it's supposed to represent soldiers, mm-hmm. and just a Sprite Pack making them look different. And that costs $4.
So I actually, I'm actually.
And of course I bought this.
This year, there have been a lot of surprises for me.
Really?
In games that just turned out way better than I expected them to. Most recently, obviously, Far Cry 3. Like, that game shouldn't have been as good as it was, especially coming off of Far Cry 2. And it's part of the reason why I kind of fell off my radar up until, like, right before release.
That's going to be a huge contender for Game of the Year, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Dishonored was another one. Like, it was ballsy of them anyway to release a new IP this late in the console cycle.
Right.
And to have then made one that's so compelling is even more crazy.
Yeah.
So that one kind of came out of nowhere as well. And then probably another big surprise for this year that I think is going to be on a lot of people's lists is Sleeping Dogs.
Really? You think it's going to make lists?
Sleeping Dogs.
It might.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not going to be number one on anyone's list.
No.
But I think it's absolutely going to be on some people's top 10.
Top 10.
Probably,
yeah, sure.
Mine included.
Yeah.
I haven't even played more than a few hours of it, but it's such a good game. And the story behind it, like how behind that game's development specifically, is I think one of the reasons why I appreciate that game so much. Because there are so many things that could have caused and should have caused that game to either not happen or to be a fucking broken mess.
Man. I haven't played any of those games. And the sad thing to me is it's not like I've lost interest in gaming. Because I spent, what, about 200 hours on Persona 4 Golden in...
Oh my god.
In like 4 weeks. That is nowhere near as bad as I could have gotten. Like Skyrim, I did 100 hours in 6 days. I still love games. None of those games
just named some games more than others.
Yeah, it's the shooters, like, their open world
what
action
I found
games.
Was,
I don't
in
know,
fact,
man.
Like I probably found games that came out like not in 2012, but before that, I played for the first time this year, were a lot more memorable than games that came out this year and I played for some reason. Like I thoroughly enjoyed games that didn't come out this year more than the games that did come out this year.
Yeah, my game of the year is a game from 2008, man. I know what you're saying there. It's crazy. It's crazy. I hope next year is going to be full of crazy stuff I wasn't expecting that actually gets me excited.
I think next year's not going to be. I think next year's going to be a very quiet year for gaming. I mean, obviously, they're going to be console launches, so that's not going to be quiet on that end.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of like compelling games, like big game of the year, top 10 lists, like that's
going to
be a real weak year next year.
As a reference, on the Giant Bomb Persona 4 Golden, Persona 4 Golden Threat or Forum, subforum, the top, the fourth top poster is Self-Confessed Cynic.
Yep.
And the difference in posts is about like 5.
Wait, what? Really? Am I already up there? What am I at?
You're in the top 4. You're at 112 posts.
No way. Bullshit. Let me have a look.
You are at 112
posts. So I only started posting there when the game came out. I was not on this list at all, and then I've been helping people. I've been like, hey, I should make a good persona. One of my things on there is all the classroom test answers for the entire game. I posted up there anyway.
One question: Are any of you doing Secret Santa of any sorts? Oh,
no, actually, I'm not this year.
Oh, aww. I'm doing Secret Santa, and I plan on giving the person Paradox Games Sprite Packs. Because it's fun. Those are
why
fun.
Would you?
The minimum spending budget is $10, and the specific rule is feel free to give them anything.
You are so the single worst game. Secret
like,
Santa.
For example, For example, one of the other dudes who lives in Nevada got a beer making kit from a dude living in the UK. Mr. Walks bought someone a beer making.
I've opened a Christmas present. I've opened like a huge looking box on Christmas that contained just stuff like they're just sundries, like socks and underwear and shit. That was better than what you're giving this dude.
Look,
you're a piece of shit.
Basically, and guess what? The person who's my Secret Santa doesn't own the game.
It's you're a piece gift, right? Of shit.
They don't own Hearts of Iron 3, but I'm going to get them Hearts of Iron 3 sprite packs that were worth $10, of course.
You're the worst.
Is that amazing? It's the best. I feel so good about myself.
Moving on. Durian, what have you been playing this week? Just quickly, because we have to get the actual game at some point.
Yeah, we have to get the actual thing that this is about. Yeah. I've been playing mostly Far Cry 3. I've been playing a lot of Far Cry 3.
How do you like that?
Which, that game is so good. And I don't even know what's going on in the story, because it doesn't really fucking matter. All I know is that I'm a goddamn ninja. And... Who the fuck needs guns when you got a bow?
That so much of that game sounds interesting to me, but I can't. I just can't. It's a shooter in the end. I know it's awesome, open worldy. You can blow up sharks with rocket launchers. That all sounds cool, just not my kind of game. But there's plenty of coverage of that on the Jabba website. They love it. You're definitely going to see it in the Game of Year stuff. Anything else you've been playing?
I'm trying to think here. What else have I been playing? I've been playing a little bit more StarCraft 2, Heart of the Swarm, not a ton.
Right.
Not as much as I would like to, but not really. I've been really busy this week, so I haven't gotten a whole lot of playtime in on much of anything. I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed 3. I don't remember if I talked about
that last week.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I was only playing it when my wife was watching, and she keeps falling asleep. So...
Is that a comment on the game, or is just your wife's really tired?
She's really tired.
Okay.
It also does have a really slow start, so that might be partially the game's fault as well. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and start powering through. I didn't want to play through that and Far Cry 3 at the same time.
Right.
So I just kind of chose Far Cry 3 because I was just having more fun.
Like Assassin's Creed 2, 3, so there's no reason to jump straight into
it. Well, I just came off of Brotherhood and Revelations back to back.
Exactly. So I wouldn't be surprised if you're out. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm okay taking a little bit of a break and checking out some other stuff.
Yeah. But so there's a person here I definitely want to talk about what they've been playing with because I want to make fun of him. But Thurbleton, what have you been playing this week? Is he here?
I'm here. As previously mentioned,
bully him.
I've been working I've been trying to get games of Cards Against Humanity and Space Team. Yeah, that's the name of it. But the issue is there's only one or two people who have iPod devices. They all have cheap smartphones.
Space Team is possibly the most exciting game to me because
it's what the main thing I'm really excited about is playing it at PAX or something.
Well, because we're going to have that week-long trip. That is going to happen. We are going to do Space Team. What's the max player count on that? Is it four?
Or 2 to 4.
Four. All right. That's going to be fantastic.
What exactly are you talking about?
Oh, God. If we play over Wi-Fi with each other, is that what you're talking about?
That's the only way to play that game. To be clear, you need to do it that way.
Is it going to be you, me, Noob, and Durin over Skype yelling at each other?
Oh, that would be great. We should do that.
What is this game? I don't know what this is. Explain it for the audience.
Okay, I'll explain what Space Team is. Space Team is it's a free app that you can get where you and your other one to three other friends, so it's 2 to 4 people total, are piloting a spaceship, and you're going through these sectors. And you each have a control panel that you have, dashboards and knobs and buttons to push and whatnot.
That's all. That's all you've got. You've just got a control panel.
That's all you have. And then the upper section is a timer that goes from right to left and gets, bright red when you get closer to ending.
Yep.
That has an order that needs to be done. Most of the time, somebody else is it's the order for them.
Yeah.
So it's constantly just chaos of yelling at things to get done as you see the timer finishing while listening for someone to yell at you to get your board done.
Yeah, so like to be clear, it's like it is Star Trek. It is riffing off Star Trek. You are on the bridge.
Yeah, it sounds like the Star Trek game.
Yeah, and everyone's shouting like routing power from shields to thrusters, like that kind of thing is what you're doing on using your control panel. But because like 90% of the time it's on someone else's, the only way to do it is to clearly shout at the top of your lungs. Because you don't know whose it is. So you're just shouting. Everyone's just shouting for them to do it.
Yeah, they're shouting commands out to nobody because they know who has what.
Yeah.
And so you're just shouting the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, and then the best part is like,
oh, I have that one.
Yeah, exactly. The best part
is they'll throw one in that is actually a command for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you're yelling at, who's got that thing? And
God damn it.
I have it. I should fix it.
And then like panels will like fall off.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah,
you gotta like turn the device and you get it back into place to get it to go back on again. And
and then ooze falls down. And
level
one
is that when level two hits, they start throwing stuff at you, like the panel will fall off, and so you have to angle the iPod a certain direction to attach it, and then like hold your thumb on it to get it to stay in place.
Yep.
Or ooze will come down. You have to wipe it off in order to press the button.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's a static thing, which I've seen, but I haven't actually, like, had it happen to me, so I don't know how to fix it.
Yep.
But there's two cool things. When you go into hyperspace, you have to flip it upside down.
Yeah.
But everything's still upside down. So you're, like, reading it, like, I don't know what this says upside down. And then also, when an asteroid's coming, everyone has to shake the iPod
at
the same time.
Yeah, everyone has to shake. Because like, the whole time you see the little ship at the top of your screen, it's moving from left to right. And you can see like the thing, like a general idea of what's going to happen in the future. Like, if the asteroid's coming, you'll know. But yeah, it's all about that bar racing towards the left, going red. And you're just like, oh, fuck, we need to get this done. Who's got that thing? It's great. It's great. It's like the coolest multiplayer game this year, in my opinion.
I didn't realize I had Wi-Fi. That changes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
There's a video in Giant Bomb of them playing it like right next to each other. They're just like, standing around playing
it. Well, I saw that. I didn't realize that we could play it like that we could all connect online.
I've never done that before. We'll see if we can. We will see if we can. I've got an iPad around. Noob doesn't have an iOS device, do you? I don't think you do.
No, I have Android.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. Anyway. So that's what Thursday's been playing. The last person I wanted to hear.
I do want to add on just on what I've been up to.
Go ahead.
I have still been reading that book that I talked about like
which one?
Weeks ago. even forgot the title. It's The Blueprint for America, I think.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm still reading it. I'm like 150 pages in now. It's just every time like I set it down and then like pick it back up, I have to like retrain my brain for like, okay, this is where we are in this point of history. And with like fantasy books and whatnot, I can speed through those because they're all just using the same like content over and over again.
Yeah, linear story and the story is repeated.
Yeah.
I'm not used to reading these kinds of books.
So specifically, this is the one which is like history but told through what was it again?
It's a guy who's been working at the Pentagon for like 20 years now or something, but basically he started working at the end of the Cold War and has been working ever since on just like what the basically taking an observer standpoint of like this is how the Navy reacted to it, like just all the different governments.
Oh, cool.
And then how we can move on to the new type of world.
Right.
Because during the 90s and 80s, we were still in this is still the Cold War, right, guys? And then when like the Desert Storm hit, we're like, we need to take care of all the crazy shit happening all over the world. When it's been going on for like all during the Cold War, everything was still going crazy. We just weren't paying attention.
Right.
And now we're getting out of that mindset and being like, okay, this is what we need to do.
So, Darren, you were reading an interesting book, weren't you? It was something.
I've read a little bit of it. I need to get back into it again. It was the one you were starting to describe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a history of the United States told via like diary entries from people who actually lived it.
Yeah, that sounds.
Oh, is that great. Wait? What is it called?
It's called The People's History of America.
Yes, that book is great.
I've heard good things about that book. And this.
It covers 1492 to present, and present being during the Clinton administration.
So on the opposite end of the spectrum, I finished reading Cold Days by Jim Butcher, the most recent novel in the Dresden Files. It was great. It's great.
Nice.
Great book.
I've been reading a book too.
I don't care. Noobarama.
Let's see. I've been actually playing a lot of games.
No. Specifically, I still beat editing the podcast, even though I haven't been on very much in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
A particular episode a couple of weeks ago came up, and I was putting it together and making sure everyone was in sync, and I heard your little segment of it, and I just burst out laughing. So you found Alan Wake scary?
Oh, fuck you. I don't like, I'm the kind of person who gets, if I'm alone and the game is dark, I'm scared. If it has to do with darkness, I'm scared. I get creeped out by Diablo 2.
What is wrong with you?
Look, man, it's the fact that I don't think even it's the darkness that's scary, but the fact that those dark monsters, they don't die very easily, and I can't aim in that game. And there's no, like, effective way of fighting bad dudes, and then I get really scared. And then I decided to play another scary game today. And
oh, what were you playing?
Metro 2033.
Oh, how'd that go?
So good.
See, I love Metro 2033. It's a fantastic game. It's a little rough around the edges, but overall, it's a really great game.
Mm-hmm.
And that game, again, it's not the fact, like, whenever I'm fighting people in the darkness, and even if they surprise me, it's not that scary. But the second mutants come out and they're simply hard to kill, that's when it gets a little bit scary for me.
See, for me with Metro, anything in that that is creepy is more so the environment. It's like that game is the creepiest when there's nothing around.
I'd say just the mutants in general, not because they look scary, but simply because you think they're dead, but sometimes they're not dead, and then they just charge at you. Or there's this really weird physics bug where the mutant dies while it's running, and then it launches super speed its body at you, and you're about to die, but it's really just a dead body. I don't know. It's some weird physics bug where it just launches bodies.
I think I've seen that.
Gave me the feeling of being overwhelmed, which is pretty cool.
It's cool because it combines the ideas of being overwhelmed and also being isolated.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I just need to say, because Alan Wake is not a scary game. That is an action game.
I'm telling you, that game, you get overwhelmed by a lot of those dark spirit dudes. And then you're not really
in the places where they're like infinitely spawning if you're hanging out.
They never tell you you're infinitely spawning. I just want to pick stuff up. I want to find more manuscripts.
So, the thing is that like when you realize that that's starting to happen, my mindset was, okay, fuck these manuscripts. They clearly don't care about giving them to me that much. So I'm going to keep going. And I'll assume that they won't put a manuscript in an area where there are infinitely spawning enemies. If there are, too fucking bad, I'm not going to grab it.
Yeah, and I think it's like...
You're a quitter. I'm not a quitter. So I keep on doing that, and I die, and then I get really...
I'm not a quitter. I recognize bad game design. And
not even that. I think that Noob just has an extreme lack of survival instincts. He's just like, oh yeah, everything's going to fucking hell around me, but there's a piece of paper over there. I didn't get that.
But those manuscripts tell the future.
There's a coffee thermos. I gotta get it.
Well, I mean, it's not anything I learned from Slender, it's... When shit is crazy, just keep looking for pieces of paper. Don't try and leave.
The thing is, it's not even just collectibles. You know those like cans of beer that they have like stacked up? Like when things are infinitely spawning. Sometimes I've had this choice between shooting something that was really close and about to kill me or shooting those cans for the achievement. I shot the can. I die. I just reload the save.
Were you playing this on hard or something? Dude, that game was not difficult either.
I was playing on normal difficulty.
You're just really shit at games.
I'm playing on PC, yeah.
How do you have a problem aiming? That game is so... I played through like 3/4 of it on the 360 before the PC version came out, and then I switched to the PC version. Like, this is like a child to play this.
I don't like aiming on third person, and that's I'll reserve my judgment on that. And fuck you, that game is scary in some parts. Fuck you.
I do want to. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, what? Wait, no, go ahead. I was about to change topic to something else.
No, I was too. I was just going to quickly point out there was one other thing I did play that I totally forgot about, and that was The Secret World.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
They got rid of the subscription fee on that, so I hopped back in there again.
They really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
All time to start downloading.
Not only did they get rid of the subscription fee, they took the Guild Wars 2 approach to free-to-play. So you have to purchase the game, which is currently $30, but there is no sub fee, and everything is unlocked to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Guild Wars 2 model.
I might buy this.
I'm playing the shit out of that next year. That is January for me.
This is the way that game should be. Like, it is a good game, but not $15 a month sustainable.
That's good. This is really good.
But at the same time, they are also taking now I can't say that they're taking the Guild Wars 2 approach or Guild Wars 2 is taking their approach to this, but they're similar to what Guild Wars 2 is doing. They're putting out monthly updates for that game. Adding like new content.
That's pretty cool.
So
that's good. This is
they're
good.
They're going to be adding a new zone, I believe.
Moving the industry forward. Good on you, person who develops Secret Worlds. I don't know who that is.
speaking of monthly updates, I guess we should just use that to get to move on.
But Mike,
what do you have?
I didn't finish. I played Diablo 2, a lot of it. And you know,
speaking of monthly updates and using that to move on.
I read a book. I read this book called Peace They Say by Jay Nordinger. It's a good book about the Nobel Peace Prize.
Darbleton, what's happening this week in Guild Wars 2?
Lots of stuff that I will preface by just saying my favorite game that had third-person shooting was Oni, which is an old Bungie game. But anyway, Guild Wars 2 updates.
Is that like Marathon?
Yeah, it was after Marathon. But yeah, okay, it was before the Halo days.
Was it a Mac game?
Yeah, it was Mac. Mac and PC, I think.
Oh, because Marathon was Mac.
Yeah, it's really dating myself. But and anyway, Winter's Day has happened.
Thank you.
Along with many other interesting things.
Including something on this podcast. Or should we not talk about that yet?
Whatever. But I
think we've missed the window to plug it.
Yeah. I think we should have done that like at the
beginning. We should have planned this out a bit
when
more.
When people are still listening to this.
But to be clear, we didn't speak with him about anything to do with Winter's Day, like pretty much at all.
Well, we did ask him that single question about, did you do that jumping puzzle? In which he answered, no, I did not. And that was the end of it.
So to be clear, Josh Foreman, ArenaNet environmental designer extraordinaire, graced us with an interview, which will be going up next week, so for the Christmas break.
It's like more of joining us on a podcast episode.
Yeah, it's like a full 2-hour, 2-hour, 20 minutes, something like that podcast. Where we have an arena dev the entire time, and he just chimes in The Hobbit, and he was great. It was a fantastic interview, and yeah, the plan is to put that up for episode 34. It's going to be great. I hope you guys enjoy it. So look forward to that.
I made a new friend on Facebook.
No,
God damn it. But I don't want to ruin it, but there's information in there that has legitimately not been heard anywhere else. There's actual exclusives. About Guild Wars 2, to be specific, like, not just like his preferences on Bat versus Knife, which does come up.
Oh,
but
no, that is in there, yeah.
That is in there. But, legitimate Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2 exclusive info. So, to tune in next week, that's going to be awesome. But,
Don't spend time with your family members on the holidays. Listen to us.
Let's be real here. Anybody who is, they probably could use the 2-hour break.
or just while you're at the in-laws, sneak the the one earbud in, hide under your shirt or something, and then just keep going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You were right.
What I'm gonna do.
I re-listened to it. It was really good. Anyway, so Thurbleton.
Anyway, Winter's Day has happened.
Thank you.
Yep. Tix the toy maker is just he's set his airship golem for cruise control, and he's going to all the different cities, and then ending it in Lion's Arch. And amazingly, a sunny beach area is suddenly covered in snow, which is really weird.
2012, man.
Yeah.
2012.
Was that Winter's Day, like, the summary? I hate you. That was terrible. What? So winter's in... Oh, my God. Winter's here. It's so awesome.
Winter is here. Say,
if you're referring to Lion's Arch, there are flying snow machines flying around, dropping snow on Lion's Arch. That's how it happened. You can go there and see...
There's so much crazy stuff. Like, I only logged in for... Because we recorded the interview yesterday. And I was like just fucking...
Literally as Winter's Day patch went up.
Yeah. But. So that's probably why we didn't ask him too much about Winter's Day. But like directly after that, I was tired. So I played Persona 4 for like 12 hours and went to sleep.
I went back to Metro 2033 and got scared because I played it before I went to bed. And then I had a nightmare.
So I
hate you both. I went straight to work pretty much.
So I got up...
I, I, I love the Guild Wars 2, actually.
and I jumped into the Guild Wars 2 this morning, and just to look at all of the fancy new art. Because for these holidays are becoming more about, like, oh, look at Lion's Arch, it's all pretty, than about the, like, just like the events. Because I don't feel the need to sit in front of this computer. Because the good thing about a Vita and Persona 4 is I can play it anywhere. I can go, like, to the shopping complex and, like, play it there. Like, Eaton.
Shopping complex. The mall?
No, not the mall. Or I can, like, play it downstairs, but it's actually legitimately cool in my house. But to play Guild Wars 2, you have to be in front of this goddamn computer, and I am...
Get a laptop.
I progressed from a pool of water to just vapor. I'm just an amorphous mass of vapor at the moment, because it is so hot in this room. But, so I jumped onto Witcher's Day, which is in itself kind of, like, weird that I'm sitting here in the summer heat looking at a winter wonderland.
I wish I could be in Guild Wars!
Yeah, I was just so envious. But yeah, it was great. I Lion's Arch looks cool. I think... Okay, so which do you guys think look cooler?
Is Lion's Arch the only city decorated?
Lion's Arch and the PvP areas have both been decorated. Okay. But, like, the same as Halloween. I don't think I don't think any company has the resources to turn around a Divinity's Reach and the other, like, home cities' size worth of, like, just pure working content.
They did original Guild Wars.
They just did L.A., didn't they? Oh, they did L.A. and Kanang.
No, they did Ascalon. Well, no, they did Ascalon, Kanang. They did... Drachnars, they did LA, they did Kamadon, they really? Did all of them.
Well, and to be fair, in WoW, they did, you know, do all of the cities, but they basically kind of, they strung lights on everything.
You know what I'd like to see that I think would be really awesome is they do, like, they like, you know, pull from some of the other holidays or and stuff like that. So, like, you know, when we do, like, Independence Day for North America, rather than just say North America, we'll do, like, that's the day the Char celebrate their independence from the Flame Legion or something.
Okay.
Independence Day? You mean just in the U.S.? You mean Canada Day?
Yeah, Canada Day. That's exactly it.
Or I don't know why they didn't do this. You know, decorate the Grove as a Christmas tree.
No? Yeah, sure. That's
actually
right.
An idea I'm surprised they didn't do. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That would be crazy.
Just give Silvari, like, a town costume.
I really want a town clothes for Silvari where they're just strung up with lights.
Yeah, that'd be
and
great.
And kids are trying to put boxes under them. Oh, that'd happen.
Oh, that'd be great. So, I was going to ask, which do you guys think was cooler? Do you guys like the Halloween decorations more or the Christmas decorations?
In terms of performance, I prefer Halloween because Christmas kills my goddamn frame rate.
Same!
It doesn't kill my frame rate. It just everything's invisible for me. There's nothing there.
Oh.
It's just a desolate wasteland.
Like in terms of looks, like winter by far, it looks way more amazing. Like Halloween was really cool, but I feel like I don't know. Maybe it's just the preference of the art style itself or the art they chose or whatever. But I just really really dig the art style of the winter stuff way more than I did the Halloween. I just wish I could actually move around through Lion's Arch at more than like 12 frames a second.
I guess lag is better than being invisible.
I really enjoy the work they put in for Lion's Arch for Winter's Day, but I'm going to go with Halloween only because they had a lot more activities that were like that had players running around too.
Yeah,
like they had the
exactly.
Costume brawl.
I was going to agree.
This constant melee by the Mystic Forge, which was then itself a mini jumping puzzle to be part of the costume brawl.
So, like, the Halloween thing was not only...
But to be fair, the costume brawl was something that was added as a feature.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But,
I mean, like, that definitely goes with the time. It's just, like, when you had to make me choose, I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, because it was the first one. So that's it's always difficult to compete with the first one, because that was the first time I've seen, Lion's Arch dressed up and pretty. But then seeing the players running around and, like, seeing the pow and all that, the crazy, like, words over their heads everywhere. It's, like, all around me. And the cauldron. I actually prefer the cauldron to the snow globe for the Mystic Forge. I think the cauldron looks cool. Even though the snow globe looks pretty cool.
I will talk about how cool that snow globe is later.
Okay.
Jiren knows why. Okay. But please continue.
Awesome. But yeah, just I liked, and to me, I don't know. Halloween is more of a distant thing. We don't really celebrate Halloween here, so at least it's more like exotic to me seeing Halloween decorations. Cause
you guys don't celebrate Halloween there?
Not really, no. No. All Hallows Eve?
Huh.
No, we do not. It's a distinct lack of Wicca in Australia is probably why we don't celebrate Halloween. Halloween's just interesting, visually interesting. I kind of know what's going to happen going into.
So you've never gone trick or treating?
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
Sure.
You've never gotten yelled at by some old man to say, get off my lawn.
You've never had razor blades in your mouth before.
Yeah, stuck into apples.
Holy shit. Right. I just realized that, why is there so much cosplay hate if everyone loves dressing up for Halloween?
That's because those are kids dressing up for Halloween.
There's totally adults who dress up for Halloween.
No, there are adult Halloween parties. I mean, there is an entire fucking industry of slutty everything Halloween
right.
costumes.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you say costumes, but it's just slutty cat, slutty something,
yeah.
something.
I mean, you could probably buy, like, slutty Kleenex box.
That is disgusting. Oh, no. You clean your mouth out. So Halloween. Either way, you kind of know what's going to happen coming into Christmas. I was still pleasantly surprised by a lot of the stuff, though. It's Christmas. Like, there's nothing not to like. It is snowing, isn't it? Like, if you go into Lion's Arch,
it's a snow making machine.
I'm definitely enjoying Winter's Day. I really like it, especially the events are on par with that, like with the ones that we saw for Halloween. They're just a lot more polished,
right?
But in terms of like Lion's Arch Halloween or Winter's Day, Halloween just had more going for it.
Right. That said, like, also snow and things like that isn't something new in Guild Wars. Like, there's a whole racial area dedicated to snowy winter areas.
Yeah.
Halloween was completely unique in that sense.
Like,
where it's like there's
warping
no
into
area.
The PvP areas and there being that like that green mist over everything. It was awesome.
Right.
But I went to the Grove today and I walked up to the edge, like this kind of cliff kind of area, and just looked at that gigantic golem, that floating golem. I was like, that is pretty cool. That was pretty impressive.
Oh, you mean the airship?
Yeah, the inverted commas airship. It was that was pretty interesting.
I can't wait till it gets to Rasum.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And people can find out more about that airship in our interview next week. I'm going to be dropping that all today because it's going to come up a lot. But yeah, it's going to be really cool. I want to say, so who wants to start this, the talk of, because that's like the real talking point. Like the
can
events,
we start by
right?
critiquing the costumes? Because I've spent money on the costumes and I feel like we should talk about it because I spent
money
on
it. Why did you spend
money
on the costumes?
Because I felt like I had to own it. And then the second I pressed confirm on the buy order, I felt a strong, deep sense of regret, like I've murdered a family member or
something.
Did you
ever buy that little the anime figurine? Did you do that?
No, I didn't buy it.
Okay.
All right. Now that I think about it, that's a pretty legitimate Christmas gift. Like,
fuck you.
Oh, wow. I'm just starting to think about it. You made me completely forgot about it.
Okay.
Because of your like constant bullying and your hateful words. But now,
so
holy shit.
Equivalently, now you have, does it need to do anything fancy when you costume brawl with it?
Basically, I'm going to equip the thing right now. So I was just waiting for this.
Mm-hmm.
The first skill is smack with your scepter. And
what
then
is
number
it?
Two,
what does it look like?
Just a smack.
No. What's the costume?
There's no
like?
Visual. Oh, the costume? I think it's very different from winter or the Halloween costumes, mm-hmm. or at least the Mad King Thorn one, as in it's just a simple costume. It looks like a fur coat that PETA would like boycott or something like that. Just like a right. really furry coat with like a furry hat that makes your character look bald. It's visually nice, but it's not cool. It's not very like, wow, that's pretty cool kind of costume.
You're not selling me on this costume at all.
I know. Hence, I regretted this costume because the Halloween costume took me about like 10 minutes to regret after I played around with it a lot. But this, I felt the regret before I even wore it. I never regretted my
Halloween costume at all.
Real? Well, that I bought was, two Halloween. I bought both the witches and
okay.
The
I just bought the witches one, and that one
I blew $20 on those costumes. What the fuck was I saying? Right.
I don't know.
Like, none of the things are very cool. Like, this costume is probably the most underwhelming costume out of them all. Because in the original Guild Wars, there were costumes like the Halloween costumes where you were no longer a person and you were something cool and then just a person wearing a costume.
So you wanted to talk about the costumes so you could warn people to not buy the costumes. Is that what you're saying?
No, I want everyone to buy it so I'm not the only idiot wearing this thing and running around.
So I want to reference back real quickly to The Secret World, because I would like to say, like, on the subject of costumes, because they did take the same approach that Guild Wars 2 did in terms of their free-to-play model and everything, one of the big things in that game is costumes or you know, the look of your character. Because all of your gear in that game is not cosmetic.
Right.
So
it's all using it for fighting.
Yeah, it's all like – yeah, exactly. Like, none of it actually shows up on your character. So like they have
– Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, none of your gear shows up as anything other than weapons.
So is your character just naked?
No, your character is in whatever clothes you buy for them.
Okay.
So like what we have in that too.
I play plenty of MMOs that, or well, not MMOs, but Japanese games where all the characters are naked.
What we have as town clothes in Guild Wars 2 is just what your characters are wearing in that game. So like all of the cosmetic gear that you're buying with real money seems like it has a bit more use than it does in Guild Wars
2. Yeah, because the second you take fall damage in this game, good luck, your costume's off. That's it.
Yeah, who actually
or go underwater.
I'm close at all.
Like, costume brawl was the thing that added some sort of use to it, but then again, costume brawl, I haven't seen fucking costume brawl in a long time.
Like, what I'd love to see happen is because like they're implementing all these options having to do with just like, you know, the your outfit and whether it be combat or whatnot, and an option that when you go into cities, you can just automatically switch to town clothes and it just does it for you.
Right.
Well, the town clothes option is weird to me anyway, because in a game that already has a transmutation system where you can change the look of your gear to be whatever you want it to be, excluding legendaries, it's not like in MMOs before, like, there was always a reason of, like, having, like, separate clothes for that stuff because, you want to be able to see how powerful that person is based on their gear. And if you let them wear things like town clothes, you won't know that they are actually wearing, like, the top-end gear and they're going to kick your ass or something in PvP. Whereas in here, because there's already that system set in place to allow you to change the look of your gear to whatever you want it to be, that issue isn't really there. So like the reasoning for town clothes to be non-combat only clothing just makes no sense.
Right.
And especially given their model, like I want to think that like the reasoning for those clothes existing in the store, like that was intended to be a big moneymaker for them. Mm-hmm. But when you have no incentive to buy it because you're never going to see it.
I'm assuming there are retard, or I shouldn't use the R word, challenged people like myself spending $30 on costumes. They're pretty much doing pretty well for themselves.
Yeah, I suppose. It's unfortunate because there are some really neat things on there that I will never buy because I'm not going to spend real money on clothes I'll never wear.
Because like the
look, man, you know what my change to town clothes hockey is? It's shift because I want to constantly be showing my clothing off.
The primeval armor is on there, and you can use that. It's weird that there's a disconnect between like some of the stuff you can get on there and the stuff. Like some people want to look like Frosty the Snowman. Like why don't you just
yeah?
Them? But anyway, the thing is, in the original Guild Wars, you could wear those costumes as Frosty the Snowman. Did you not?
I don't know.
You could wear hats in combat, I remember. Because they were just a completely different set, and you could wear them over your clothing.
No, well, it's like the full, like, the candy cane set was actually
right.
Like, weapons. Like, you could use those. But anyway, we're talking about the smallest part of Winter's Day.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel sorry for you, Nubarama, but I just
don't give a shit. I will add in brief, I do plan on buying that outfit as well for my giant Norn. Purely to someday later make a pimp outfit out of it.
Nice.
Now you're just abusing it.
So it might
be, you know, like this clothing opens up a whole bunch of RPR opportunities that I don't want to miss. So yeah, cybering and RP. Join me.
I'm just gonna give you as much rope as you need, and just let you keep going with that. So the actual thing that matters, in my opinion, when it comes to Winter's Day is probably the events, right? That's why we're here. Not me particularly, because I just like wandering around and looking at stuff. But that golem flying around, you actually do stuff with that golem. That's not just there for no reason. Today it's parked in, what was it? The Grove?
It's gonna be it's in the Grove right now. It's just going to circuit through all the major cities until it parks itself at L.A.
And it's not just moving. There's going to be different stuff to do in there every day, right?
From what I hear, yeah.
Yeah. So who's actually done, like, I was inside it. I didn't go into the party. So I just like went inside, looked around, and fell to my death.
as you do in the Grove.
Well, there's a teleporter there, and it teleports you to the middle, and then I couldn't find a way to get down, so I just jumped off and I died. But I assume others here, Thurbleton, you've done stuff. Have you played
with it? Yes, I did run through the dungeon in the Grove.
So is it a dungeon?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's like five events, but it's its own instance.
Because it's an instant, like, you walk up to this, like, teleporter.
And there is effectively a boss at the end followed by a chest.
Oh, cool. Yeah, there's a teleporter, and you are teleported to within the thing. It's like, level 2. It's classified as, like, a level 2 instance, but all the enemies inside it are level 8? Am I well, the Taro Mentals, when I looked at them, they said level 80 next to the name, didn't they? Anyway.
I think so.
You start. They're the same for Halloween as well. I believe.
Yeah, it starts off like anybody up to level. No, it scales you down to level 2. I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, it's a thing. Like, you actually go inside and do stuff. So what'd you do, Thurbleton?
Yeah. Well, it's like you start off having to. Apparently, it's an airship that somehow has. I guess it's weighted down by what they thought they'd ordered a ton of like bags of sand, but was actually full of scrit.
Wow.
And so there's just this surplus of scrit just running around on this airship.
So weird.
I still don't understand how they got on, but they're wrecking his prized flying
as scrit
factory.
Do.
Yes. And so the first thing you gotta do is like, yeah, like, you know, do damage control, stop all these oozes from wrecking the place, because everyone knows the Surins love oil-based machinery.
Yep.
Yeah. That makes sense. That checks out.
Yeah, that checks out.
It was actually one thing I really like about the event is like we were like confused, like why is this not working? Because we kill the ooze, put the like goo in the machine, and like the progress bar would start moving, but then after a while it would go back to 0%, and then we finally realized the ooze is escaping from it, and so it's like it's pseudo timed.
Okay, cool. Oh. Right.
So you have to have people like going out, killing the oozes, bring them back, but they also have people killing the oozes that are trying to escape from this machinery.
Okay.
Right.
It progresses and goes on through all these events and then leads up to you have to stop like one of the robots from going crazy by beating its ass.
So, and this is all happening like the winter. Like, how much of the Winter Wonderland do you see?
You are not in the Winter Wonderland. You are inside his airship.
Oh. Oh,
so it's just like.
And hallway, this is something everyone like needs to do. This is may just be for the Grove one, but it's models of Tyria.
Oh, wow.
That you can destroy.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
And apparently that's an achievement to destroy all of the miniature models inside his airship. We were in there for 20 minutes wrecking everything we saw, and we couldn't we can't see anything else we can wreck.
Oh, God damn it. Cause Josh talked about like, he dropped that for us yesterday.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure, like, what is he saying?
He said something about models, and it was, like, his idea to do that stuff. And we had, like, no idea, because it just happened. Right, like, it just came out. So we had...
Yeah, there's, like, trees that are, like, your size that you can wreck, but then there's also these, like, miniature things that are, like, these trees and buildings that are, like, waist high.
Right.
And you just feel like just Godzilla just smashing them.
But is it, like, Divinity's Reach or whatever? Or, like, what do you see?
It's not that size. It's, like, you know, you'll see buildings, like, when I did the char zones for Royal Completion, going through like just the, because everything is like this corner is the char area, this corner is the Norn.
Okay.
And I would see like this outline of buildings looks familiar, like it's some camp I remember from one of the char zones.
Gotcha. All right, cool.
Wow.
And so you get to play Godzilla. That's pretty cool.
Yes, you can wreck all the little things. You can't the city points, but it's very fun. And a lot of fun.
But you're not in the winter snow. I'm really crushed that you're not running through there.
You run through winter snow and many other things.
Oh, yeah, right. Wait, so...
Don't worry.
To do with
as
this?
As I said earlier, we will get to winter snow.
All right, so I need you to take me by the hand and get me there. So what's this all about?
The dungeon or the stuff in the winter snow?
Just take me in that direction, because I have no idea what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, that's all I know for the Grove. There's going to be different events in that same dungeon as they progress in other cities. And I believe they said something about when it finally parks in Lion's Arch, you can do all of them still. So that's all we know about the dungeon.
Right.
There's three of the things you can do. I know two of them.
I was just gonna say, like, and the dungeon is like each of those events is based on whatever the toy is for that city.
Yeah,
like, there's gonna be a different toy each day that it's based on.
Like the Savar one, which I think is awesome, is a toy Ventari, the centaur.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
that's pretty cool. All right.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Hold on a minute.
For anybody who's like, how do I find this place? It says on the top right corner of the screen.
Yeah.
And if you ask us in Guild Chat, we will troll you and say someplace that is in the far corner of the world. Because we are horrible.
Yeah, like, you can. It literally just says, like, if you've been to Arrah and followed that quest chain of events, it's kind of like that. Just does it on the top right hand.
Yeah, it's like it's personal story. It shows up on the top right corner of the screen.
Yeah.
Anyway, the three other events can be accessed in Lion's Arch. Similar to if anybody did the stuff on Halloween, there's like little crossed flags on the map. They're pretty much right by the Mystic Forge. They're really easy to see. They're on like stands and they're waving at everybody.
Yeah.
But the first one we'll just get right into is a jumping puzzle.
Fuck you.
It's not made by Josh, the guy who made the Halloween one.
Yep.
Though he did have some words of like, good luck, hopefully they won't all rage at you. Sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think after doing it, people won't really rage about this one.
I think they did a good job.
I think they're just going to complain and whine about how
easy it is. Without getting too much into the jumping, the mechanic they have for time, because like with the Halloween one, it was a, like, evil is ascending in liquid form to consume you and all that. In this one, it's more like you are losing your health slowly. So it's not that threatening at the beginning. It's more like, okay, I have to get these jumps and I have plenty of time. But when you get down to the wire towards the finish, you have like, you're at, you know, running on fumes almost of health.
And so do people with more health in the beginning have a serious advantage?
It looks like it's percent based.
Yeah. I like it's percent. And they balance it where it's you're not regenerating your health because you're in combat, but you have this constant speed boost. So right. You're running at what you think is traditional speed. So like they do that well, and it's pretty easy. Like after a couple tries, you can get used to it. The couple things I like when you do the jumping puzzle, look up because you will find you are inside the Mystic Forge.
Snow globe.
Yeah, snow globe.
I didn't even catch that. I saw the stuff, and I didn't catch that's where we. Oh shit!
That's cool.
Snow globe perception.
Well, oh man,
get off this podcast.
We're inside, yeah.
Get out.
But the other thing I liked is you are like the waiting room for. Because I'm just comparing this to the Halloween one. The waiting room for the Halloween one, you would always just stare at the tower, and it was just like this. Anger and bitterness about how you couldn't make up the jump and just staring at this like this tower of hatred. It's like, oh, I have to climb back.
I know that feeling.
With the other prep room for Winter's Day, first off, they have piles of snowballs. So you can have fun throwing snowballs at your friends while you're waiting for the people to fall off or finish. Because it's not time-based in the prep room. It's like this many people are waiting and have fallen. The other thing that I love is you get a bird's eye view of the jumping puzzle. You can see where, like, okay, this is where I have to go, and this is, like, you can see the pathway, and you can see the people as they're trying to finish it, which is awesome, I think.
Cool, yeah.
It's really taking advantage of the fact that, like, you know, it's because of the programming, I guess. They can't really give each person their own instance, but they make it so you start off in two different paths. So like the minimum they can give you is like 20 people per like map. It's already split down to 10 now because it's two identical paths that just merge halfway through when most of the people have fallen.
Okay, cool. That's yeah. Because we talk about this on the interview that goes up. You'll hear like some of their design decisions going into this. But that's a really cool solution to some of the issues that we added with Halloween. That's pretty cool. So what else is there? So first of all, just rewinding slightly, was the dungeon fun?
The dungeon, I had a good time with it. Yeah, cool. It was a little confusing at first, but I think because like I'm gonna want to do it more and more as Winter's Day just kind of like progresses, because I really want to get one of the toys, which is a baby Asurin.
Oh,
Baby Quaggan? Yeah. Yeah, there's a baby Quaggan you can get.
I think there's a better one, and you know what that is? That's the infinite hair styling kit.
You know what? While that is classy, I'm okay with my rebrand.
Infinite hair styling kit?
Yeah. I feel infinitely more better than the useless little Quaggan.
I don't know. Every time like the holiday comes, I love to check
this game is about making your character look as pretty as possible, and that's why I spent $30. And I'll say this again, I'd be happy if that thing drops and I never get any drops in Guild Wars 2 ever again, because that's all I want.
Just hair styling?
All I want for Christmas, Arena Net, is that infinite hair dye kit or kit, whatever.
But they're going to be like, well, we think they're going to have like single use hairstyling kits on the.
No, they do.
Yeah, there you go. So
what's up? That was up like last week.
Right. So you don't need the infinite one. I guess you could have the infinite one, but.
You could have the one in case you wanted to, like, oh, I'm going to keep changing my hair every
day. It's like having your own personal hair salon.
Girlfriend.
Mm.
So anyway.
Yeah, thank you.
Moving along. Like, any questions you have for the jumping puzzle? Or, I mean, it's straightforward and fun. And same with the dungeon.
Yeah, it's definitely much easier than the last one was, but not so easy that you can't fail it.
Through it. Okay.
I guess the one tricky thing about the dungeon is that it is two level, and when you're on the second level, the upper level, it's like really confusing how to get back through the method that they intend for you to. But it's all cool because they have a free waypoint that you could just go back to the beginning.
Oh, free waypoint. That's good.
So I'll just be like, just use that rather than find the circle teleporter that they use, because that's really hard to find.
But you did that anyway because you're Thurible King.
Yeah, I'm a completionist. Like, I have to know.
Anyway.
Plus, we're looking for
jumping puzzles aside.
Jump puzzle aside, the second of three events in Lion's Arch is their PvP style event, and this was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a U style map where each team starts on one tip of that, and what you have to do is fight in the middle to get this present and then bring it back to your side.
Right.
And I believe there's one for every. Like, I'm not too sure about this. I haven't done too much, but I know that. You basically get a kit either that's randomly given to you or that's dependent on your profession. But I got a rifle and just started piecing dudes and had a ton of fun.
Interesting. All right. Right. So you,
it's a very simple like layout, like design. You have to get this present back and then just use these tools.
Right.
And it's very simple based PvP fighting.
But that means it's probably incredibly fun, because if you get competitive people on there, that could be pretty interesting.
It's something I would love to see, like, just stay as, like, you know, they rotate between that and Beer Keg or something.
Yeah. The Keg Brawl is great. And this sounds like an interesting spin on that. It sounds like Keg Brawl, but with like, a twist. Because you get, like, a kit of stuff to do, right? That sounds pretty cool.
I'd love to see Arena do something to, like, bring the town activities. Like, you know, this month or something, you, like, do Keg Brawl to get this fancy item.
And it'd be cool if you were like forced to be in your town clothes. Let's just mash all the problems into one solution.
I know, right? Just everything should be in town clothes. I don't see what the problem is here.
But yeah, so those two, you saw, is there a third? Like, you guys are saying
there is a third. I haven't done it yet. I just didn't get around to it, but I know someone who has.
Yeah, there
that
is a third.
Is on this podcast even.
So the third one.
Yeah, don't make okay, me, don't make me pause to noob.
So my favorite part about costumes is texture that they have.
Did it was wonderful. It's texture. A very cool one that he'll tell us about now.
It's Bell Choir is I believe what they're calling it. It's basically Guitar Hero though, which is fucking awesome.
Bell Choir.
So basically, there are these like circular platforms. Again, it's one of those that you're just kind of teleported to a place. There are these circular platforms, and in front of each one, there's a snowman. And before the event starts, you need to talk to the snowman, and you choose whether you want to play the high part, low part, or middle part.
All right, okay,
it'll
sure.
It'll place you in the middle of the circle platform, and you are in control of a third of that platform. And on your third of the platform, there are different colored slices going across that correspond to your 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9 keys.
Okay.
Each of those numbers associates to a note. Again, think Guitar Hero style. And so when the song starts, and it'll let you know beforehand what the name of the song is and the difficulty of the song. And so when the song starts, you will actually see little orbs coming down the one of the colors. And as it comes towards the middle, there's a white line that has to cross. And you need to basically hit the key associated with that note.
Oh, that's good.
It crosses the white line, but before it hits you.
So,
and your score is how well you do. And there's a whole leaderboard at the very end that you've done, like, I think it's 3 songs.
Right.
It might be 4.
Okay.
And at the end, you see a leaderboard of how everybody did. And then it just resets and you do it again.
Are these original songs or covers of
Christmas? Yeah, that's what I want to know. Is this music we know?
Because one I care about, one I do not. And
I believe these are original songs.
But are they Christmassy?
Are they Christmassy?
I think so. I wasn't listening to. I didn't have the sound up high enough, and I was on Mumble at the time.
Right.
So I was just basically watching the things come down.
Because I was gonna say it'd be hard for them to get the rights for a bunch of the Christmas songs.
Right.
I was really...
but not really. You just make a cover of Jingle Bells or Let It Snow.
You'll change 2 notes on it.
Right.
But no, it's actually really, really fun to do. The only unfortunate part was I did it just after we recorded the podcast last night. And there was a bit of lag problems, which really kind of kills something like that.
Yeah, right.
I was really hitting notes and they were just missing.
Right.
But other than that, it's probably one of the coolest things I've seen in an MMO. And it's one of those things I really hope they keep it around after this.
No, but the interesting thing was there's a lot of places in Guild Wars before this where there were playable music things, instruments.
Yeah.
I was just wondering when they would ever implement something like this. And here it is, albeit in a different form.
Anyway, those are the 3 main things. That's of day one of the.
There is one quick thing I just want to add, just because we're on the subject of Lion's Arch. A lot of people saw, for the Halloween, the lion statue freaking broke, and we talked a little bit about this with Josh. But something I just love that they're doing is they didn't just bring it right back like magic.
Yeah,
they're building it up.
Yeah.
And for those who don't notice, that Lion's Arch statue has been constructed a little bit.
People notice it. Notice, it's just rubble now, and then they're starting to build it, and then now you can see, they're slowly rebuilding it, and I hope it's comes back in February.
Are we going to talk about the Christmas presents, in the randomness?
If you want to tell us about the
what's this about?
Because that and the snowman.
Right. I haven't done the snowman, so someone else can talk about the
what
snowman.
What are you talking about?
Sky. All right, so basically, I'm gonna take a short deviation from the costumes, and talk about the other things on Winter's Day. And mainly, the thing is, if you're not into events and you just want to run around and play your thing, they have added randomly spawning giant Christmas presents that appear on the map randomly. Well, they're not random, but they have set places that they spawn in. And basically, what these do is you go up, so it's not in your instance only. It's in the entire game. So everyone can go up, open the present, and basically what would it do? It would spawn 5 random mobs. It's either the Toy Venturi, Skrit, or one other thing, I believe. And basically, it also spawns presents that people can pick up, and these are mysterious Christmas presents or something like that. And basically what happens when you open them is you either get a crafting material, like a snowflake, or you get an... Let me see what it's called. It's called an ugly wool sweater, an ugly wool sock, or an ugly wool hat.
All right.
And basically, if you play Guild Wars 1, these are like the candy cane shards or something like that. So these are currency you can hand in to get Winter's Day skins and other Winter's Day goods like consumables. Yeah. And
like a baby Quaggin toy.
Or how much is that baby Quaggin toy?
It's going to take a ton of wool, so I'm going to do the dungeon.
Right. Wait, no, it's not a toy. It's a mini pet.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right. So for the skins themselves, they're 100 things each, so 100 of either currency. So if you get more of one currency than the other, you can trade in for the wool sweaters instead of the wool socks to get the skins. Have you guys seen the skins running around yet? I haven't seen them.
No.
Yeah, but not at all, they seem like gingerbread.
We are 2 days in. So
yeah.
Well, I'm at 30 so far, and I've spent about another 30.
Well, this is going to go for a couple, like a week, isn't it? Or a bit more.
No, until January.
Oh,
geez. Okay, there you go.
Sounds like they planned it out to be a lot of people running around with it. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the big collectible thing. Anything else regarding the collectibles? I think that's about it. Yeah. So, yeah, farm stuff with me. I've just been farming the entire time.
I guess just in brief, the snowman thing is there's I think 3 in LA, and you can get this pretty easy with just using overflows, but it's just you have to make a ton of snowmen to get one of the holiday achievements, and it's just you see a pile of magic snow and you commune just like you're communing with a skill point, and it's just like the pumpkin carving thing in terms of running around and collecting stuff.
Anyway,
but it's another thing to do.
Our plan for today was to talk about the Christmas stuff, but since it's ongoing, there's just going to be so much more. I mean, we're going to get an opportunity to talk about a lot of it, aren't we? Because we know that next week is going to be the interview episode, and we're not going to be here for the New Year's, are we? I don't think.
Most likely not.
It's safe to assume we're taking that week off.
I'll do a podcast alone.
No, you won't. Look, you always say that, and you always fail. Like, I'm still waiting on your anime podcast, but.
Just because I can't. There's Revan, and then there's you, and then neither of you have watched anime recently, have you?
No.
Exactly. But I was watching anime yesterday.
So is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Because I have an idea how to end out the show, but is there specifically?
Well, it's. I guess we need to talk more about on the World versus World updates.
Oh, go ahead. Sure.
Yeah. I don't want to go like too much into just like I'll save the massive World versus World podcast for February, but they made some effort to try and show like, you know, the people playing the game for WoW that they are listening and they care, and to try and counter some of the trolling, because they did a really good job fighting the hacking and the exploits. But let's see if I can find structured PvP. World versus World. When people would alt F4 out to sort of just deny people from doing the finishing move and getting loot, people were kind of mad about that. So, yeah, people
could do that.
People would do that.
Why?
Some people were pissed. Other people were like, well, it takes the whole time for them to log back in and then load back into the map.
That's so stupid.
I guess it's okay. But that's still kind of a troll move.
Right.
So, Arena, it's like, we agree. Whenever somebody disconnects while in combat in World versus World, they will be killed and you can loot the corpse.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's actually
so
fair.
So, for the most part, trolls are like, no. And then people who generally have, you know, connection issues are like, that is makes me sad.
Well, it wouldn't be... Like, because the first time you die, you don't get a broken piece of armor. You just get a death penalty.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Like, this is a victimless change.
Mm-hmm. Then one other thing they added was this was kind of a silly thing, and it does make sense. So I'm really okay with it from a balancing perspective. And I actually had to deal with this from a defensive point of view. Is when you treb down walls or catapult down walls and they break, what you could do was just like, you know, let's say it's got 10,000 supply, you know, in it. When someone puts 2, what it's at 0. The wall magically reappears. And so, like, people would, like, half a attacking force makes it in, one person repairs it, and then they're cut off until someone gets back on the treb and keeps hitting it.
Which, by the way, was incredibly fun to do as a defender.
It was, it was very campy, or, like, all right, guys, let's push them out. And then, like, half the Zerg, like, makes it out to push away the attackers. And, like, one friendly person, I'll repair this door. And
oh,
then
yeah.
They're, like, the defenders are split in two.
Yep.
How it works now is you have to repair 10% of its health to get the wall to come back. Right. And the attackers can keep attacking that same area, and that will do damage even though nothing exists there. So that does keep it balanced, and that keeps the fighting. Like, it relies more on you have to actually drive the people out, get rid of the siege, and then you can repair. Mm-hmm. Or at least drive the people out and repair. And I had to do a bit of this while fighting for one of the towers earlier today. So I like it. I think it's nice.
Okay. As you'd be the person to actually judge whether that's a good call. Like, is that a positive change? Do you prefer it that way?
I think it's a balance change. I mean, I definitely enjoy it more. I really hated the campiness of people just put two supply in and were sort of like cheating the system. They knew they didn't have to repair it. They just had to delay it. So they would put like as few as possible to just buy themselves time, I guess.
Right.
This method I like much more.
Okay, cool.
Right.
And then the biggest thing that's the most controversy is they added basically when people are completely driven out of a point, nobody really wants to go in there and fight because they have to take back towers. They can't get any foothold into the map. They add this thing called a breakout event. And how it works is it's actually a pretty low bar, I think, which is a good thing. There's a char commander who actually has a commander icon.
Oh, cool.
He's called like a siege master, I think is what he's called. But he just chills out at spawn when you don't have any proper points. Let's say you have people taking supply depots, he'll still show up. But it's like he shows up and you have to like be close to him to register. And he's like, you know, I'm waiting for 10 people to gather around. And once they do, a timer starts from 50, and then he summons his trusty Dolyak. Everyone can get supply from the Dolyak, and then he runs out at us, like, you know, just below traditional speed,
right?
So people can catch up and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So what happens?
What happens from there is he runs out to the point, and I saw bits and pieces of this because I was running buffer. I was trying to keep the enemies at bay, but he will just like once he gets up to the door, he will drop all the siege you need. And then there's a new event that happens of build up all the siege.
Oh, that's cute.
And what's really good is he drops arrow carts, he drops rams, and he drops catapults against the walls.
Ooh.
So, yeah, he doesn't put catapults against the door. He puts them against the walls where they belong. Not that I'm angry at noobs for doing that.
Right.
Not that's you, really noob. Cool. Actual noobs.
Well, I'm always angry at noobs, but that's cool. Not.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, though, then what's really cool is the guy has a ton of health and really hurts. He's like he hits like one of the superpowered supervisors at the depots sort
Yay.
Of thing. So he will knock people on the ground, and he runs around. He's actually got pretty good pathing. I was impressed.
Oh, cool.
But then he also puts these. They look like guardian shields, like the domes,
right?
On the siege that he has placed.
Okay.
While the attack is going on, and anybody who's in them has some sort of buff that has to do with vitality boosting.
All right.
So it definitely makes the people attacking have a bit of an edge to try and get that foothold back.
So it's that swing back mechanism that we were all talking about a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So how this hasn't been around long enough to really tell what it's changed, has it? But
yeah. And the big issue is I'm not sure what the numbers will be to get it to like a farming status, which has me worried. Is like
right.
If defenders get X number of ballista, can they just roll the guy over before he gets close? Can people attacking not really care about the map as a whole and then just keep attacking, letting the point get taken back, and then just keep attacking again? Like what if there's a respawn timer on the commander? He doesn't show up for another 20 minutes or something.
Right.
So those things I don't know yet, but
sure.
I'm pensively happy about this.
sure.
Whenever they release stuff like this, it tends to get exploited and just
But
people try to find a way to cheat.
So hopeful, but still reserved is what you're saying.
Yes.
Awesome. So is there anything else? I'm happy. That, how about what do you guys think about the changes to the costumes and structures PvP and Wolves?
Well, not really costumes, but proper.
Yeah,
the PvP, the color, the armor.
Yeah. Oh, God, you had my Durin,
you actually had like some pretty good talking points about this.
I love the change. First off,
So just explain it.
This works on WoW as well.
Okay, so basically the change that they made is that currently in structured PvP, you have your red team and your blue team, and it dyes all of your gear to be a solid color based on your team. And the change they're making now is allowing you to toggle whether that is on or off. But they're doing it smartly because they're allowing you three different options. They have the base option, which is there now, which is that everything stays the same. Everyone on your team is one color. Everyone on the other team is the other color.
Yep.
They also allow you to turn off colors for your team. So your team is all wearing whatever they dyed their gear to be.
Yeah.
Cool, and the opposite gear. Team is always – yeah. And the opposite team is always – single color, be it red or blue.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's the option to turn everybody's off and everybody is just wearing their own standard color dyes.
Right.
And that's like the best way they could have handled this. Like,
yes,
I know a lot
absolutely
of people
the best
have taken issue with this. Yeah, a lot of people have taken issue with like, well, because they have this whole other progression for structured PvP to get this gear that you only get in structured PvP, and it looks really, really cool until it's all blue
and red.
Yeah.
It takes away a lot of the epicness and a lot of the cool feel of this gear that they have made.
What are you showing off now? Mode. Nothing.
Yeah,
you
exactly. So, it's cool that they're doing that, and you can actually, and not even maybe so much show off, but just see it yourself. Like, see yourself in that awesome gear dyed exactly.
You can only see it in the mist.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So it's a lot of people have been asking for quite a while, and the fact that, because in my opinion, if they'd only had the toggle to be blue and red or no one has anything, that would have been dumb. Because I think that the color differentiation is an important point from a tactical point of view. The milliseconds saved here and there are what wins you close fights. But the ability to have like the middle option, in my opinion, the best option
and
there.
And to point out, that middle option is the default.
The yeah. coolest option, yeah. That's it's the one where you can see your teammates' cool, sweet gear, but the enemies are still the enemy color. That's awesome. That was a perfect move on their part to put that in there. And I wouldn't like. There's argument to be said for not looking down on. I guess because this is PvP. People are jerks. There's definitely people out there who will say, hey, if you have it such that everyone's died, then you're playing it wrong. But in this case, if you're doing it the one where you can see your team's colors and you can't see theirs, like they're died, the enemy team, let's just call it the middle option. If you check the middle option, that one's cool. And that's a legitimately perfectly fine way to play. And it's great. I actually love this change. Just to shut people up. Like, in my opinion, obviously, I'd prefer them to be able to have worked on like actual stuff that matters. So, like spectator mode, for example. But yeah, this is pretty cool either way.
Well, I imagine something like spectator mode requires a lot more work and QA
it's
on their part.
It's been 2 months
than something like this does.
It's been months.
How about Guildhall?
At some point, you have to go. Okay, still. It's been a couple of months now. I know it's a lot of effort, but this is like the number one thing that we needed. But hey, whatever. That's it. Still, the game is still happening. This is the MMO, so it gets to keep evolving, which is awesome. And it is evolving. I'm so happy they made this change. They've consistently made changes like the ones Thurbs pointed out and this one to continually improve the experience. What do you guys think about that? How do you guys feel that pretty much every month they've rolled out a significant improvement to what they've released with?
I mean, what things can you say other than it's amazingly good? Like, it's not like you can say, oh, fuck, they're updating my game. I want it to be vanilla. Like, yeah.
I don't know. There are people playing WoW that are running vanilla servers.
Or those people who absolutely hate TF2. Hey, that's not vanilla or something like that. Yeah, those people exist, sure. But
yeah. This
is an MMO and, like, these aren't changes that are fucking you up. These are changes, for your convenience.
Yeah.
Like, how could you not feel good about this?
Agreed.
Well, and it's nice that they are. I mean, say what you will about spectator mode being in or not being in, and the prioritizing of it. But it's good that they are clearly they're not just going through and making changes willy-nilly or based on what they wanted to do, or yeah. like they're clearly listening to their community, and like community says they want this thing done, they're gonna make sure that gets done.
And yeah, right. and they've consistently done that, which is awesome. Anything else for the holidays? We're getting on what, 2 hours or so? I want to close this out.
They changed the name Bag of Gold into Bag of Coins from the complaints.
Did they really?
Yeah,
I think they changed something else to Bag of Jewels or something. There was a couple of small changes to items.
Bag of Gems to Bag of Jewels. And they also added, like, with the Blackline trading or Blackline chests, you have a chance to get well, first off, they changed the artwork of it. So it actually looks like a top-tier mining pick rather than just a tinky copper one,
right?
Which was nice. Okay. Yeah, it's a little thing, but they also added a heavy bag of gold that is only found in the trading chest.
And of course, this heavy bag goes anywhere from 80 copper to 1.3 gold. So it could really just be a heavy bag of copper.
Yeah.
Which it probably will be.
It should be heavy bag of coins, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This month realized how much ArenaNet has fucked me over. So I spent 100, like, I'm like, oh, what's this new personalized mystery box or present, right? Because it came with the new holiday in the store, and it was 100 gems. And that's like 2.5 gold nowadays. And I bought it, and it's like 4 personalized presents and 2 random dies, it was. And I got 2 blue dies and 4 ugly wool sweaters that I could have found running around randomly on the map for about a minute. And then I swore that one day I will have my revenge.
It's because it turned out to be exactly like Noob's normal Christmas. Like his real life one.
Right. Exactly.
Just 4 ugly wool sweaters and no girlfriend. And with that, we did this.
I was curious. How long have you been wanting to say? Like, how long did you
all
have
episode?
That ready?
All episode. So, I planned it out from the start.
I'm telling you, there's gonna be real girls at the Christmas.
So
party.
We had Thanksgiving a
I'm
while ago.
Hold their hand.
And me and Noob Rama got to say what we were thankful for. And I think the feeling of Thanksgiving, being thankful for things, even though that's not really what the holiday is about. Definitely extends this whole period, and I want to end out the show, but first...
The holidays are about getting...
Let's have a chance for Durin and Thurbleton to weigh in on what they're thankful for, and if you want, what you really hate. Like, what you really deeply hate in the world that you want to see change. So, either one, Durin...
Are we talking area, or are we talking...
Real life.
Oh, okay. General. Okay.
And you got
I'm going to start with me.
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have anything? I hope you.
Or I can talk about more stuff I hate.
Yeah, exactly.
We
can fill.
I can go really deep on this while Durin's thinking of something.
Go ahead.
I guess start off with a good one. I'm thankful for, this podcast and meeting you guys and in turn meeting.
Aw, you're my best friend too.
I didn't say that, but sure. But yeah, just like meeting through you guys, I found the Giant Bomb community. I found like the Tested.com. I found this awesome guild. Thank you again so much for letting me be a part of this.
Oh, great. Wait, so then, whoa. You found Giant Bomb through us?
Yeah, I had heard bits and pieces about it, but I didn't actually know about like the Giant Bomb. I usually got most of my news from like Total Biscuit or IGN or G4 or something like that.
Whoa, okay. Crazy. Crazy. Yeah, all right.
Madness, I know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What?
For Esquire?
No.
Playboy?
Forget that.
Men's or Gentleman's Quarterly?
That was heartwarming. I need you to balance this out. Is there something you absolutely hate?
Hate.
Yes, and this is going to get kind of somber, but I hate the cowards who can't admit that they have a problem and talk about it and instead run into malls and shoot people.
Oh, jeez. Wait, has something happened this year?
Well, I mean, there's been stuff that's been happening the past few weeks all over the nation, but in the town I reside in now, Portland, Oregon, some guy just ran into a mall with a hockey mask and an SMG and started shooting.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, and then there was also that event in Connecticut on Friday as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Yes, I've been out of the loop. So I agree. You guys are jackasses and cowards.
Wait,
and as an extension of that, the media.
Oh,
fuck
the media.
Oh, God. Fuck the media. Yeah.
Why? Why in this case? I agree, but why?
Because this is revenue for them.
Yeah,
it's not just revenue. It's more so
they're capitalizing on this politically, whatever.
The way that they come out like vultures when this stuff happens, and the way that they handle this is in no way professional and tactful. I mean, I don't want to go real deep into it because a lot of people talked about it, and the discussions tend to go real dark places. But
this is not the place for that.
But with the whole Connecticut thing, like when I was hearing that Fox News was interviewing kids who were there waiting for the parents hadn't shown up yet, and so they were like over there interviewing the kids.
Oh,
like that's.
Yeah, I want to move on.
That's just fucked up. Yeah, that's way too far.
But yeah, so this is a holiday about being happy, and anything that's against that, especially something this bad, it just pisses me the fuck off. Because seriously, we spend all year being jerks to one another. Like, if you think about it, if you think you're a jerk, everyone's a jerk in real life. Like, there's a person who falls down the street, I laugh. That's me. but in this period of the year, you're supposed to be a little bit nicer.
Give us 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
You want to be a jerk? You want to do heinous things? Like, you have all year to do that.
We're not saying go shoot people up in January. but we're saying
don't do it now.
Yeah, specifically. Anyway, thank you for that. Anything else? I'm fine with taking a couple more.
Durin, Durin's up now. I gave enough time.
Similar to Thurb, I was aware of Giant Bomb. I have been for a long time, but I'm definitely thankful for Cynic wrangling me into this podcast as well, because I definitely feel like had he not, I probably wouldn't be playing Guild Wars 2 right now anyway.
Right.
Because
wow, really?
Well, because like the community I always joined prior to this were very finicky when it came to MMO launches, and they would be just headstrong going into it at launch, and then like 2 months later, there'd be like two people online ever.
But I got into Mumble today, and there was still like 18 people on Mumble.
Yeah.
Doing
yeah, so it's really cool to actually be a part of a community guild that actually sticks around for the long haul. And I definitely don't think I wouldn't have even found the guild had you not wrangled me in and done all this. So that's actually probably that's definitely something I'm really thankful for.
Is there anything in real world life that you're thankful for? Family and kid aside. That's the easy one, because if you ask me, parents, like, I'm thankful for my kid, he's adorable, he's two, look at his pictures. But aside from that, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful my job ends next month, because this thing is soul-crushing.
That's crazy. Your crazy schedule is nuts.
I'm hopeful that I find another one.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely.
Because I don't want to do this anymore.
Nibarama, is there anything?
I still have yet to see. I haven't said thanks on that podcast. I've only like complained about things because I couldn't think of something to be thankful for, and I still don't have anything.
It was such a fever.
Oh, I'm thankful for that.
Wait, Noob, hang on a second. Are you telling me you are not thankful for the great leader, the deer? I'm sorry,
but I cannot talk about that. what was I going to say? Right, I guess I'm thankful for. And I'd like to plug.
I'm thankful for one thing.
I hate you.
While we were recording this podcast, my wife went out with her brother to go hang out. And in the middle of hanging out, they went to Starbucks. And she grabbed me a drink and brought it back here before going back out again. So she's awesome.
There we go. And with that, I'd like to say that we're going to do the obvious thing and say we're all thankful for you, the listener. And I'm just going to vomit a little bit on the inside right now.
Fuck you.
And then, thank you, Nibarama. Thank you.
Why won't you like my Facebook page? Fuck you. Well, except the 20 people who liked it. I love you. But the other X amount of people out there, maybe two, four more people that are listening to this.
Do you have any plugs?
Oh, plugs. I want to stream, but I can't. I don't know if I'm going to. So
yeah, let's not set expectations and then fail to meet them, shall we?
Yeah, well, because like I want to, but like I'm playing.
What kind of jerk does that?
The game is already very intensive on my system, so
absolutely.
I don't. Yeah. So yeah, no plugs this time.
All right, Thurbleton, any plugs?
No streaming right now. I'll probably get back into it because I know with the where I'm at with my legendary, I'll start doing dungeons again just to farm him in hopes of getting freaking lodestones. But I will give a shout out to everybody who helped with the podcast for Josh coming up next week.
Oh yeah,
just everybody who sent in a question. We used a lot of them. Mm-hmm. We condensed a lot and just made these really well detailed questions, and he was impressed. We have you guys to thank for all of that. So you rock.
It sounded like he either had a good time or he's like great at making people feel better about themselves while being on the podcast.
Hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys have an awesome Christmas. You know, it's spend time with your extended family, your family or in-laws, or just
listen to our interview
once a year. Have fun with them.
You know, you don't want to just don't. I mean,
play some Cards Against Humanity with them.
Play some. Yeah. What's it? Fuck, Space Team.
Oh, space team.
There's no way in hell I could play Cards Against Humanity with my in-laws.
But you can play Space Team. That's why this is awesome.
But I will be playing Cards Against Humanity with my parents, assuming they get the goddamn thing up on their site. They say it'll be ready for Christmas, but I'm getting real worried now.
Wait, what PDF? Are you talking about?
No. Cards Against Humanity is currently out of stock, but they have a note on the site saying they will have it up, available to purchase and have it shipped in time for Christmas.
Oh, right. Okay.
So...
crazy,
but I'm getting kind of worried because we're only a week off and it's still not up yet.
Yeah, that's gonna be a land grab. That would be just crazy.
So I'm hoping it goes up soon because that's kind of plans for Christmas Eve.
And so, well, Noobarama, plug your shit.
I'd like to plug the Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub, a hub where you play Giant Bomb where you play PC games with the Giant Bomb community. Yeah, come out and play. Like this week, we played some Victoria 2 multiplayer. Very fun. Oh, actually, no, that wasn't it. We played some Counter-Strike Go. It was very fun. And all of the other games you want to play on the PC.
And also, leaks of that in the
like
show notes,
the Facebook page at www.facebook.com.
So, with that, just
occurred to me, too.
I do have one last shameless plug.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Thurbleton.
Yeti microphones, great for podcasting, and such good quality that you can hear me typing on my keyboard this entire time.
Yeah, it's
that spiteful, or is that
not that it was annoying to you guys? I don't care. I'm running around Lion's Arch.
So the big plug is for next week's episode, going out with the week of Christmas. I'm not sure what day yet because I have to edit it and all that.
Tell your friends, tell your family.
I keep saying Christmas Eve, and I'm like, wait. Senate kind of has to edit that. I don't know that I should be saying that.
Yeah, at some day during the Christmas week, what we got up is a 2-hour-plus long inverted commas interview, more like just like a straight-up normal episode with Josh Foreman, environment designer extraordinaire. He's worked in a bunch of games like Guild Wars 1, Guild Wars 2, you know, ones you've heard of. It's great. It was a great episode.
Is that episode family friendly?
We swear a lot.
I think we swear every now and then. It's
right. Okay. Yeah. So
it may not be family friendly. It is sailor friendly.
It is definitely our cleanest episode. Yes, yeah. I will
One
confirm.
Time I was about to swear and then I held myself back because apparently Josh Foreman is an adult.
So that guy doesn't. Just to be clear, no swearing in his part. It is all on our side. That guy's a gentleman.
I kind of felt like.
I love his response though. I'm not sure if it was before we recorded or not, but he's like, I don't know if I'm used to people swearing. I do work on making video games. It was like, you make a good point there, sir.
Yes. Well said.
Oh, yeah. It just occurred to me like they, you know, everyone will see us on here next week with that podcast, but. Like, we're not going to be doing another one of these until January.
Yeah, right. It's going to be a while. I'm going to see you guys for anyway. We are all grown ass men except for Noobarama. Okay. So we'll do
what?
Get a girlfriend, Noobarama.
Yeah,
and with that,
like Facebook page.
Thank you.
If you want to be my girlfriend, like the Facebook page and send me your resume for being my girlfriend.
Hey, Cynic. Since I probably won't see you again until the next podcast, enjoy The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Anyway. What?
I can't enjoy The Hobbit, Thurb. I thought we were best friends.
You've already seen it.
We should do this differently. We're going to do the goodbye thing, but we're all going to do the goodbye at the same time. Because it's the last episode. Well, it's like the last episode of the year. Last real episode for the year. So,
Last episode ever.
So what are we going to say? Fuck off. See you in 2013?
No, we just say goodbye. Just goodbye, like that kind of thing, you know? All right, so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Goodbye!
Goodbye!
That was fucking cheesy. Fuck you guys.
You guys both didn't... I hate you.
I said goodbye.
I said goodbye.
Did you?
I said goodbye.
So yeah. I only heard Thurb.
I might have said go fuck yourself.